I want to briefly think about a thought out of Haggai chapter 2 tonight. I love the minor prophets for their application to our lives. How often we open the pages of the minor prophets and could think that God was speaking to his people even today. You think about Haggai, he was sent as a prophet to challenge God's people in many ways to get back to work. Along about 536, the decree under Cyrus has gone forth. The Jews can return unto Jerusalem. They are now coming back out of that captivity. They have started a work, but upon getting the altar and the foundation of the temple, the discouragements that they face, the opposition that they face from the nations round about them caused that work to ground to a halt. Now 16 years have passed. No work has been done on the temple of God. We've built our houses. We've begun to live in comfort. And we've accepted the situation that's going on all around us. And so the great message of Haggai that we often think about in chapter 1 is consider your ways. Think about how you're living. Think about what you're doing. Think about the apathy you've kind of fallen into. And remember, it's time to get back to work. And the people with great zeal will once again resume the labors that they had started, and they begin to build this temple once again. But within, it seems, a month here, about 24 days, Haggai sent back with another message, and that's what we find in chapter 2. Because the people have begun a good work, but there's still discouragement. Largely, as I think about our audience, most of us are Christians here tonight, and I think about the reminder to us that we can be about a good work and still face discouragements. We can be about a good work and sometimes have oppositions that are going to arise around us, and sometimes that opposition is from sometimes even within ourselves. And that seems to be a part of what's happening here. And so it is a message, particularly here in verse 1 through 9, his second message to them is a message to strengthen them and encourage them. You have begun the work once again. I first said consider your ways. Now I want you to keep on in that good. Side thought before we get there, it's interesting to me. The exact same phrase will be found twice in the pages of the New Testament to Christians. Be not weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. I believe you could reference that in the sense of be not weary in well-doing regardless of what the circumstances around you may be. But then also 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. Be not weary in well-doing regardless of what people around you do. They may fall, they may stumble, they might not do what's right, they may discourage you. But even if everyone else around you is not faithful, you be faithful. And so Haggai is encouraging. He comes in verse 3 and he is strengthening in their disappointment as he comes with a message to the people. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as comparison of nothing? You're discouraged because, well, what is the work that we're doing? What is the good that we're accomplishing? You know, this isn't anything like what we had remembered. Even when they had laid the foundation back in Ezra chapter 3, there were some who rejoiced, and yet there were some who cried because they remembered the former glory. And this one wasn't, in their eyes, living up to it. That same sense of discouragement seems to come to them. And so God tells them, be now strong, or yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, he says unto the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I know you're facing discouragement, but don't forget that God is with you in the good work. How often are we, again, reminded of that? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, even as he's encouraging us, take unto ourselves that armor of God, he begins with Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Remember who you're laboring for. Remember who you're working for. And so 1 Corinthians 6 and 16 and verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men," or "act like men. Stand up, be bold unto the work that is before you." We can face discouragement as well. We need to remember who we're laboring for. Not laboring for the world. I'm not laboring for the glory of the Lord. I'm not laboring even for the reward of this world. Laboring for God. I am with you. Verse 5, he continues, "Fear not. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not." This isn't the first time you've done this. You came out of Egypt, and I was with you. You came out of Egypt, and I led you all the way. And even though you felt maybe abandoned as you had to go into captivity, I was still with you. I was still watching over you. And now it is God, through His hand, that has brought them back to this place. What other nation had been so destroyed and conquered over, as it were, considering Israel, and yet they were restored now into the land and beginning to be rebuilt, or to rebuild once again? God says, "I was with you then, and I'll be with you again." And it ought to be a reminder to us, and throughout the pages of the Bible, God was with His people. He was with them when they were laboring, when they were working, when they were doing that good work. And that's true for us even yet today. We think about the benefit of being God's people in Hebrews 8 and verse 10. "I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." God claims us as His own, as His sons, as His daughters. Hebrews 13 verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." There's the encouragement and the strength that we have of God. Yet, when days are dark, when things seem difficult, when discouragement sets in, when it seems maybe even others have failed us, or sometimes it seems we're all alone, yet there's God. He says, "But I am yet with you." The third message He gives to them is, yes, this house is going to be glorified. Verse 6 through 9, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. This place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." It will be glorified. The work may seem minor, it may seem insignificant in your sight, and yet don't forget the greatness of it, because it is a work of God. Now, we can labor in the world, and it seems maybe we're in a minority. Maybe it seems that our efforts seem to stretch only so far, and we become discouraged of that. And yet God says it is a great work. Particularly here, He says, you're looking at a physical building that you're building, and no, its glory may not be that of what it once was in a former day. But the glory that I'm going to pour out upon it is going to be far greater, because I'm looking at something that's greater than what you're building. You're building a physical house, but I'm working into a spiritual house. That's what's being built up. That's what's going to have this glory. This is a prophecy of that which was to come. You think about Isaiah 2, and he's pointing forward to the mountain of the Lord's house that's going to be established above all the others, and a house here that's never going to be destroyed, a house that Daniel 2 and Joel 2 and all of these prophets point forward to. We get to see the great fulfillment of God's house in the New Testament. I believe this is the reference here, even as you think about Hebrews 12 and verse 28. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." Well, that kingdom was going to be shaken once again. But this kingdom, the church, is going to stand forever. "We have a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." There is glory even unto the people of God when they're doing His work. That's a hard balance. We talked about that when we talked Sunday night about holiness and approaching the throne of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, we have, help me out, Boldness, thank you. We have boldness to approach the throne of God. Now, it's in great humility. I don't have the right in myself to even be able to think about approaching unto a God, but now through His Son, I have that great opportunity. That's the significance of being able to approach the throne of God in that great boldness through His Son. And so as I think about our lives, I think about Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2. You, as Christians, verse 5, are the living stones built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's the great work that you're involved in. That's the glory of what you're involved in. Don't think that's ever insignificant in its work. And so in verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, a special people unto God, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. As the temple once stood as a physical symbol of the glory of God, now the spiritual temple was shining forth as a representative there of God's glory. You've been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. Show forth those praises into this world. It's not a light task. And we can be discouraged in it, but we're reminded, think about what you're involved in. Think about the work that you're laboring in. That yes, God is with us. I have nothing to fear, regardless of what happens around me in the world. That God is with me in prospering the work, and there is a glory to that work because it's that which God established. And so just as Haggai had a great message of strength and encouragement to the people of his day, we can still look back and say, I can find myself in the same spot, a little bit of discouragement, but let's remember whose we are, let's remember what we're laboring in and the greatness of it. Are you a part of that kingdom? If you're not, oh, how we'd love to sit down and study with you about it and see those great connections and how you can be a part of it. We see that message going forth in the New Testament, that God was adding to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. As they heard the word of God, as they believed it, they would repent of their sins, they would confess Christ, and they would be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Same message you begin seeing there in Acts 2 and verse 38, and continuing through the book of Acts. And as they did those things, the Lord added them to the church. Their sins were washed away. They came up out of the water as new creatures, beginning and walking in this spiritual walk. If you are, do you remember the good that you're doing? Are you encouraged and built up? Maybe sometimes we need those reminders. If we've fallen away, it's time to come back home. And I know you have a family here that will surround you and lift you up and encourage you. Even as we pray to the God and Father in heaven for you, and try to encourage and strengthen you once again. Or perhaps all of us can need that little boost, that little encouragement to keep on laboring in the good work of the Lord. That's the invitation open before us tonight. If you're subject to it, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand as we sing.